Wonderful. I almost said good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. And just make sure I get all this correct. Okay. Am I supposed to point anywhere? Okay, let's see how this works. The clicker, which one do I hit? Ah, okay. Understood. Got it. Good. I almost said good evening. Good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing? Wonderful. You know, I've prepared something simple, and I thought about the service today, Pastor Chris very graciously invited me, and wonderful to reconnect with you, Pastor Stella, after a very long time. And Pastor Sarah was telling me exactly how much time I have, and then she said there's a trap door that will take me down if I exceed the time. No, she didn't do that. Tuckley, you've been amazing, just following up and annoying my life and making sure I get everything done. No, she's been amazing, amazing. And this evening, here together, are you able to make some noise? Okay, good. Come on. Let's hear a bit of noise here, okay? Wonderful. Now, we all talk about, we've known for from the pandemic, it's become an endemic. We talk about all these different challenges. We know, we read it in the paper, the social media blasts out enough, whether it's our political issues, financial condition. There's so many things happening, but many a times, when it comes to this part of the year, we always talk about finishing well, right? And how do we finish well? I think the whole idea of finishing well shouldn't be just for the last few months of the year. You know, end well, start well. I think it should be for the rest of our lives. Would you not agree with that? And it must be something that we are so apparently aware of every single day of our lives that we live very differently. You know, and we know as believers how we are to live daily. But in the midst of challenges, we somehow lose focus. Would you not agree? We lose that connection, and then we waver, and then you need on Sunday, Saturday, the pastors to come in, your connect groups, your cell groups, different things happening for somebody to just bring you back to the core, to the center. Well, I hope to bring you to some sort of center today, but it's not just a message to end the year well, but to live a life that really is a life not just of resilience, but it's a life that will speak well of the Lord, but will cause you to finish your entire race in life well. Amen? So, again, before I read the scripture this evening, I want to thank Pastor Chris again and the whole family of DUMC and years ago and got to know Pastor Daniel Ho. Y'all have been amazing partners for Dignity. That's not really just something that I do. I also pastor a church and besides other things. And you all are one of the biggest givers as on Christian organizations. Do you know that, Pastor Chris? Come on, give yourselves an amazing. You're one of the biggest givers, yeah, for us. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter. Oh, did I go too fast? I went ahead of myself. Okay, here it goes. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last. How long, everyone? How long? Forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air, nor I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, if you'll excuse me, I just need to pull this a bit higher. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Now, do you know we have 42 days to the end of the year? Some of you immediately making calculations for Christmas, so don't worry about it. But we have about 42 days to do all that we need to do to reflect, to reposition ourselves and say 2022 is going to be the best year yet. Thank you for that underwhelming response. You know, yeah, this is, I think we need to be very optimistic in things, isn't it? If not, what's the point of living and say that we have faith? Yeah? So believing that this 42 days will really count well and that 2022 will be a year of turnarounds. 2 years have been challenging enough. And we when we think of life and we think of finishing well, we think of not just the year. I'm repeating it so it gets into you. It's not about this 42 days or 2022. It's about the rest of your life. It's a race that we run. So we want to finish our life, our race well. But I want to talk about in two parts of this is the enemies that we face that do not allow us to finish well. What are these enemies? The first enemy, of course, is procrastination. Like I said, this is a simple message, but I believe a very clear one that all of us can take off it, some handle of it, and apply it in our daily life. Procrastination, it's called the thief of time. Every one of us has a degree of procrastination. Every one of us. Let me give you a definition of procrastination. Okay? Now, this is a scripture we read. I can't even see. Enemies are finishing well. Okay, procrastination. Now, the definition. Procrastination is the action of unnecessarily and voluntarily. Do you know we all volunteer when we waste time? We volunteer ourselves? So, I'm sorry. Enemies. Okay, let me get used to this, okay? Yeah, okay. I come from Sentul, so yeah, okay. All right. Procrastination is the action of unnecessarily and voluntarily delaying or postponing something despite knowing that there will be a negative consequences for doing so. When we waste time, we know something is going to go wrong, but yet we end up doing it. Where am I going with this? Okay, here we go. My apologies again. Remember, it's added time for me, huh? The second thing that we look at the definition is this. Procrastination is the destroyer of blessings. Why? When you miss what God asks you to do, you miss His blessings. When you miss an opportunity that God gives you because there's an uncertainty, you miss something really great, isn't it? It missed opportunities many a times are because we procrastinate. Because we've wasted time. We've not moved forward. We want everything to line up, so to speak. The stars must line up. And then it's gone. The whole opportunity is gone. It robs us of what? Self-confidence. Because when we miss certain things, then we feel that we are useless. We are pointless. We're not getting it there. Then we miss to be reliable. When we procrastinate, people don't trust us, isn't it? You do it a few times. After some times, we'll say, don't hope, lah. This person you ask, you got to ask them 20 times before they realize you got to get done something for them. So remember, it robs you of opportunities. It robs you of blessings. It robs you of reliability. And above all, personal peace. What else does it do? It is something that causes you wastefulness and failure. Wastefulness. You know, we only have 24 hours. Now, if you reflect back on life, and even these 2 years, have you caught yourself saying, I'll get it done, I'll get it done, I'm going to go and do it. And then you realize, oh my, it's almost end November. I still haven't done it. And we've missed it. So it's wasteful and it adds to failure in life. You know, we have 2,000 students. I've worked with almost 15,000 people. We've got people from 24 different countries, Pastor. You know, 24 different countries. We are United Nations. And you know, and I speak to young people. I have to raise 10 to 12 million a year to educate these guys. And sometimes I said, you waste your time and you actually are the author of your own failure. As believers, we don't build ourselves. We don't respond many a times to the call that is given. And then we wonder why life is not going anywhere. Simply because we have wasted the opportunity. We've wasted the time. It's wastefulness and it adds on to failure. And when we delay, we lose opportunities over and over again. Procrastination, my dear friends, is just not a character flaw. You cannot just say it's that person's character. I feel we diminish the real issue. It's not about just poor time management. You know, one of the problems when we procrastinate, it's actually to deal with our emotions, our moods, and many a times it's about a task. You know, at office, you are asked to do something, and you feel it's not your job to do. So remember, it's every job, everybody's job to serve. Huh? So sign up, okay? Just helping you out here, okay? You don't get the job done because you don't feel like doing it, or you are afraid of doing it, or you feel that somebody else should be doing it. What happens? At the end of the day, somebody has to pick up the piece, isn't it? And if you wait so long, when you finally end up doing it, the problem has escalated. Isn't it? It's escalated. We have 42 days. What is it that you have been putting off? Boredom. Ayah, malas lah. Typical Malaysian, isn't it? Ayah, malas. Ayah, leche lah. No. Look at where the leche lah has taken us. Yeah. Anxiety. You're so anxious about not getting it done that you don't get it done and you end up with problems. Insecurity. You don't want people to know your inability to get the task done. Frustrations, resentment, self-doubt. All these are actually emotions that we need to deal with. I saw some of the seminars that are going to come on. My goodness, that are going to be fantastic. Sign up, dear friends. It will help you with your journey ahead. Procrastination has consequences. Whether we like it or not, it has consequences. You know, your present self right now is linked very strongly to your future self. You cannot run away from that. Now, what you do today will manifest tomorrow. What you sow today will manifest tomorrow. So everything, this encompasses every part of our lives, our personal lives, our families, our workplace, our studies, our friends, anything that we do, every area of our life that we are trying to build it. What we are today, what we do today, will manifest tomorrow. And therefore we say, hey, we must have specific goals. Okay, yeah, specific goals. Then we say, hey, establish daily, weekly, monthly routines, habits, disciplines. Have a schedule. Some of you say, if you're saying, hey, this is not very spiritual preaching. No, actually, it's very spiritual. All right? Why should you have this? Very simple. Let me ask you a question, and I would love you to think about it. You have a day. You have whatever you want to achieve, the results that you want to achieve. What would that day look like? What would be the best possible fruitful day look like for you? Let me take it a bit further. What would be the best possible fruitful life look like for you? What would be the best 2022 look like for you? What would be the best years ahead for DUMC look like to you? For you. Why do I ask you that questions with all the aerial things? Simple. Now plan it, schedule it, and work at it. Like I said, I work with thousands of students, 200 staff, crazy organizations. And there's one thing I realize is the biggest problem in them achieving, Pastor? They never plan, they never schedule it, they never work at it, they procrastinate. And then they wonder why they're not going anywhere. If you pay somebody for an hour's work, what would you expect from that person? You would expect productivity. You would expect progress. Work done. Why? Because there is a value of what you are paying that person, isn't it? There's a value of it. Each, that 1 hour, there's a value put on it. Now, if you put a value to every hour of your week, of your day, what will that value look like? If you put a value to that hour every morning you have with the Lord, what would that hour look like? What would be the value of that 1 hour? Because if you put a premium to it, then you are going to work towards it to say, I want to achieve. It's not just writing goals down. It's really working towards it. Value each hour, my friends. Each day of your life. I think when we break it down that way, we look at life very differently. We look at, you know, with 200 staff, they come from different walks of life. They come from various groups, various religions. But I realize one thing. If they don't value their work, they don't value their life. Why? Very simple, my friends. You never make an impact in another person's life. You never make a difference in another person's life. We have 30 over, 20 live with me. You know what? They come from all ages. All you have the Motley crew, you have everything inside there. But I always just tell them one thing. What you do today will show up tomorrow. What you do today will show up tomorrow. So we said, hey. So hey, have a routine. Sure. Be accountable. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17 says this, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Are the days that we live in evil, my friends? Challenging, isn't it? What does the scripture tell us? Make the best use of the time. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what will be the Lord's will is. Procrastination always gives birth to the second problem, the second enemy. That's regret. What's the definition of regret? Regret is sorrow, guilt, or shame over something that has happened or that we have done. But on the other part, it's also a sense of disappointment over what has not happened. Opportunities lost, regretting wasted years. We always look, isn't it? Said, oh yeah, I wasted my teenage life. I wasted, you know, college. I wasted time in university. I wasted my early years. There's all a sense of regret, isn't it? I wasted my time. What happens? We lose a lot. Now, you know, when the MCO started, you know, I don't know whether I told you, Pastor Chris. When I looked at the whole thing, I said, God, we started praying, and I felt the Lord speak to me and said, make a video now. Don't ask me whether it was an audible voice or whatever, okay? Make that video. And I felt instruction come very clearly, a few things. If I had delayed it, my regret would have been very severe because we raised R1 million. With that campaign, we fed over 26,000 people, and we're still feeding them. And we put people back into their homes, paid rental for those who were going to be kicked out. We are supporting over 75 single ladies who are pregnant. You know, and I can go down the list right now. I was just, when I was doing this, and I was thinking, I said, when I was preparing this, if I had not responded, if I had been crippled with fear, because I know how much money I had to raise, we would have never touched those lives. People being evacuated from their homes. You know, some of the families, it was so difficult. I went down on the ground, took a risk. I said, where are y'all finding food? He showed me the pond
I almost threw up. It's like a sewage pond, but that's where they go and catch fish and get little vegetation around, and they eat that every day. Oh, that's disgusting. That is sad. Regret. We often look at decisions made when we were young and we regret those choices. Regret falls in a few categories, few issues. Foolish choices. Poor, irresponsible choices. Sinful, compromised choices. Willful, vengeful choices, decisions. We get angry. In resentment, we do things and we regret. Some of us have broken relationships because it was a poor decision. It was an angry decision with your parents or your spouse or your children. You know what? It's never too late to reconcile. It's never too late to make it right. Amen? It's never too late. So we experience regret because choices, situations in the past, whatever it is, we wish it was different. One of the issues is that we have friends and relationships with people, and we allow them to influence us with the wrong things. Could there be a relationship right now that you are in, or influences of friends around you or a company that you keep, that they are actually influencing you in the wrong way? You are hearing godly advice, they're telling you not to do it, but you just feel, this is the choice I'm going to make. Inside you, you know, I think I might regret it. Listen to that voice. Step away from that. Step away from it. Educational choices. I wish I didn't do that. I should have done that. I should have studied that. Why didn't I listen to godly counsel? Why didn't I listen to my cell leader? Why didn't I listen to my pastor? Why didn't I listen to my parents? Oh, you know, we make bad choices in getting married, but don't go and divorce. Huh? Make it happen now. Okay? Come for Christian counseling here, all right? Wrong decisions. People ask, we were talking about it just now. How do we get all our work done? Marry the right person. And everybody said who's married? Oh, come on, guys. You're pathetic. Even those at home say amen, okay? So, we quit work. We leave work because of silly things. And then we regret. Business deals that we've made, decisions, we regret. The list goes on. How do we deal with regret? Well, very simple. How do we deal? Romans 8:28. We know that in everything God works for the good of those who love Him. These are the people God chose because that was His plan. God will do one thing amazing. When we ask Him and say, Lord, I have made these mistakes. I have procrastinated. I have these regrets. Will you come, as I come to you, Lord, will you work in my life? I choose to focus on you. I choose to surrender my life to you. Lord, take my experiences. I trust in you. And I'm going to seek you for this time. Nothing is wasted in God's economy. Amen? Nothing is wasted in God's economy. He will take our immature decisions, our rebellious decisions, our this is my life, it's none of your business decisions. And if we trust Him, He will turn it for something better. Amen? We can forgive ourselves too. Why? Because God forgives us. Peter is a great example of somebody who his impulses got the better of him. His spiritual immaturity got better of him. Fear got the better of him. He rejects Jesus. He denies Jesus. On the other hand, you have Judas Iscariot. For 30 coins of silver, what does he do? He betrays Jesus. The thing is this, our regrets are not hidden from God. And He wants to restore us when we return to Him. Now, maybe many of you who are listening, some of you who are listening, there's a measure of regret in your life. I want to say this to you. God really specializes in restoring regrets. Amen? God really specializes. He wants to restore you. Can I encourage you, friend? At the end of this service, if you are here, get somebody to pray with you. But if you are online, tap on, call in, write in, whatever it is. Have somebody pray with you.
deal with the regret, deal with the procrastination, and move on to the best life you have ever lived yet. Amen? Let's do that. Let's do that today, okay? So God does that. What does he do? He takes the pain of regret, which can actually drive us to decisions we would not otherwise make. Look at the decision that Judas made. He killed himself. I'm not suggesting you do that, all right? There is a place where we turn our regret into repentance and we turn it around. Now, I want to very quickly finish with this today. To finish well, we need resilience. We need resilience. You remember in Luke 18, 1-8, is the widow, the persistent widow. She felt that injustice has been dealt out to her by a person. She goes to this judge, which the Bible says neither feared God or cared much about anyone. And she goes to him and she says, I need justice. He ignores her. He ignores her. She keeps coming back. She keeps coming back. He ignores her. Finally, he says, this woman is going to wear me out. And he gives us the justice that she needs. Now, what was Jesus really doing there when he told them the story? Jesus was encouraging his disciples to do one thing, and he's encouraging you and me with the same thing. Don't give up trying when you fail at something or when something doesn't happen the first time. We give up too quickly, dear friends. We give up too quickly. Things are not going well in the country. Pack your bags. Let's get out quickly. You know, only to go, you know, from the ocean to the frying, or from the frying pan to the fire, you know. No, come on. Look all around the world. Hasn't the scripture told us enough? There's no safe place. The only safety you have is Christ. That is the safety you have, dear friends. So that's not the reaction that we must have. So Jesus is saying, don't give up trying when things don't work out the way we want them to work out. Some of us are on the verge of giving up. I want to encourage you today. Be that persistent widow, knock on heaven's door, go before the throne of grace, and believe that God is going to give you a turnaround. Press in. Don't give up. I came across this quote. He says, to fight for change tomorrow, we need to build resilience today. We need to build resilience today. We all acknowledge there are tough times, yes, but we remember that we are going to make a difference. Now, DUMC, you've got a big dream, right? Dream Center. What is Dream Center all about? You come here, you drink coffee, and you dream? No, come. I want to really stir you with something here. What is Dream Center? Where dreams, come on, I am not from DUNC, I know the theme, okay? Come on, where dreams, come on, everybody, those of you at home, also shout it out. Where dreams, yo, I dare not dream already, la. Come on, la. Where dreams, all right, man, Saturday Night Live, it is. But if I give up so quickly, how can dreams come alive? And if the dream, if I give up, imagine all the people that God is bringing your way to touch, bringing your way to connect, bringing into your life to touch them with the grace and the mercy and the love and the impossibilities of God to work things around. I can tell you, you know, in the last 24 years that we have done this work, there are many times I want to give up, almost every other day. I kid you not. You work with so many groups of people. You work with people from so many countries. They have crazy demands on you. But so many of them come with so many broken lives, hopeless dreams, shattered dreams. You know something? I said, yes, a dignity, not only we give you back dignity, but we restore your dream for a better tomorrow. And that is something God has called all of us to be. And we are stewards of that. As we press on, as we work forward, then we inspire others to live life well. Can I hear, listen here, an amen, everyone? Come on. You know, that it is. So make it a reality. Let really the Dream Center be. Come on, fill up all the possible chairs to be filled up. You think we can do that? How many of you next week are going to bring one more person to sit next to you? No, don't want to pick up hands. Come on, Appaini. Come on. Let's do that. Why? Because somebody would need to hear the word of God that will touch them and turn their life around. Amen? And it takes you. If you procrastinate, that person may miss the opportunity. And then you fall into regret. Oh yeah, I should have. La. Think about that. What is resilience? Well, I've given you two definitions. What is procrastination? I've told you what is regret. What is resilience? And then we're going to dive deeper. Okay? Don't worry. 10, 15 minutes, I should be done. Because you got worried that the word deeper is like, oh no. The process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats of significant sources of stress. It is the way one would adjust their behavior, emotions, mentality to cope with difficult circumstances. Do you think this 2 years has caused a lot of people to live in regret? Do you think this 2 years, some people have snapped in their resilience? Do you know something? You are God's plan and choice. There's no other. Do you know you are the one who will make that happen for somebody? Balancing the clicker and the microphone, interesting, yeah. There are all kinds of adversities in life. People have personal crises. How many people do we know have lost their loved ones during this season? How many? How many have been abused? You know, domestic violence has escalated. And it's not just in the poor bracket, sir. Domestic violence, illnesses, jobs losses, divorces, betrayals, financial instability, bullying. You talk about all this. You know, we've had to rescue how many families? We've got no more space to bring in anymore. But everyone gets to get a touch of God's grace, mercy, and love. What has that got to do with resilience? Everything. Because you can give up so easily when you see overwhelming needs. We have 500 on the waiting list to get into school for next year. Our 2,000 quota is filled up. We have 500 on the waiting list. And they are needy. Parents come outside there and cry. You know how difficult it is to handle that or not? It's not easy. Because when you take in the 500, your budget balloons. Think of this with me, please. Resilience is more, it gives us an emotional, mental strength to do what? To cope and to process how we can overcome adversity and hardship. What makes us resilient? In these 2 years, a lot of research done. Yeah, a lot of research done. One of it I came across was this. They said, you must learn and adopt simple, emotionally healthy and meaningful life to have that. In spite of, I got it wrong. What makes you resilient? Sorry, here, yeah? Learning and adopting simple habits improves resilience. The operative word is simple. Okay? When you develop this, it navigates your life's challenges when you deal with it. Okay? Now, because I really want to deal with the last 10 points here. I kid you not, 10 points, okay? Resilience does not remove stress or life's difficulties, but allows you to face and accept problems, live through adversity, and move on with life. Now, I'm not going to do the clicking. I'm just going to go ahead because I really want to zero into something here. How do you build it? We know about procrastination. All of us have a measure of it. I've given you the definition, what it does. Regret. We all have a measure of regret. What are we regretting? But the issue is we need to build resilience. We know
It is a daily, consistent building of what God gives to us. Let me start with a simple one. How do you build resilience? This is all researched, so I'm not just saying things here. I add on the spiritual part. Number one, get a hobby. Get hobbies. Many of us feel we are lost. Get a hobby. Hobby distracts stress mentally and physically. Craft, painting, cooking, gardening, photography, cycling, picking up musical instruments, start reading. There's so many things that you can do. Endless options. You know, one of the greatest hobbies you can do is serving in church. Okay. Yeah, come on. You know, do have an output. Number two, life doesn't end because of changes. Hey, how is this a simple habit? Let me tell you. Most people internalize failures. Most people internalize disappointments. Excuse me. Most people internalize their fears. So much so, they are negative, they procrastinate, they live a life of regret they cannot overcome. Be positive, be optimistic. You know, find the bright side of every dark moment in life. You know, find a bright part of every dark moment in life. First thing is, learn how to laugh at yourself. Come on, you know, life changes. Doesn't have to drag you down, my dear friends. That doesn't have to drag you down. Number three, allow weaknesses. Okay? Now, life doesn't have to end because there are changes. What are some changes? Sicknesses. Death of a loved one. Divorce. A business that has gone down south. All these different problems that we may have faced in this last 2 years. Allow, because Paul, we will read Paul later, what he says, that his weaknesses are the best places to see God's great strength. Okay? Because we've got this funny idea about greatness. Yeah? No, allow weaknesses. Number four, give support and receive support. Where do you have this the best? Your cell groups. Your cell groups. That is where you give support and you receive support. That's where life takes place. Sometimes we get so dejected, we don't want to go into the cell group anymore. We felt that, you know, the Zoom has kind of zoomed out our passion. But I want to encourage you, get back into your cells. Get back inside there. Connect. You know why? The whole issue is this. When you share burdens, you lighten your own burdens and you lighten somebody else's burden. As you listen to others, you know what? Be willing. Be willing, number one, to listen to others. Two, be vulnerable to let others listen about your problems. Okay? Don't only be a receiver of empathy and compassion. Be one who gives. You know, this season, for Patrina and me, you know, Pastor, you know this. I don't take a salary from Dignity. It was never about the money. For me, it was never about the money. You know, we've had horrible, difficult times. I have a village to feed, you know. I have my own family, and it's a huge family. And you know something? In this season, Patrina and I have given out the most, and we have seen God take care of one need after the other, and those needs are not small needs, because we made a decision. You know what? In this season of need, we are not just going to position ourselves to receive, we're going to position ourselves to give. We're going to position ourselves to give. Why? Because I want to run my race well. I want to finish well. Not just the year 2021. Not just the year 2022. But I want this to be a habit in my life every day. That my life will be meaningful and impactful. And it will add value to others. And it brings God's value in my life. So, don't always be a taker. Be a giver. Amen? Thank you for that underwhelming response again. Amen? Be a giver. You know, again, I'm being your good cheerleader today. Serve in church. That's a good way to start giving first, okay? Come on, do that. Number five, take time off. Reflect to regain your strength. I find sometimes we are such a noisy culture. Handphones buzzing all the times. And then, wow, some people, 2-3 handphones. How in the world do you want to handle 2-3 handphones? One is crazy enough. You know? I think we're so, and we always got the headphones on. It's always something going on. Be quiet. I love to wake up at about early in the mornings, 3, 4, because nobody's going to talk to you. Be quiet. Quiet down your heart. Quiet down your spirit. You will be amazed how your body and your mind can begin to think of the day and how you can focus on the day. It's amazing. Watch the sunrise. Some of us don't know what the sunrise looks like. Watch the sunrise. Watch a sunset. Take a walk. Contemplate. Make a list then of the resources that are available to you. Number 6, go out with family and friends for a meal. We cannot do the mama, but you know what? Don't worry about it. Talk, laugh. For our home, for Katrina especially, for the rest of them, Friday is movie night. I go into the room and I have my quiet time. Being quiet to myself. But all the kids will gather on the floor, the sofa and everywhere. The TV's there, they plug in and they watch different series. And you know what? It's a great time. They have the supper, they have their bread and whatever else. But it's an amazing time to see everybody unwind and reconnect. I think the pandemic has so... And remember, it's not social distancing, it's physical distancing. Socially stay connected. All right? Socially stay connected. Connect with family, connect with friends, connect with people who really are going through challenges. Connect them into the life of the church, the life of the cell, because that's when they begin to connect with the life of Christ. Amen? 7, have faith and meditate on God's word. I mean, we cannot emphasize enough on this, isn't it? Yeah? Realize that there are things that we can never control. Realize that life is full of uncertainties, okay? 8, always pray. Always pray. Again, we can't overemphasize this, isn't it? It is so critical. It is so... Why? The storms of life will always continue. Problems are not going to disappear in 2022. They're going to be there. So if we keep the simple things consistently in our life, keep our focus. Let God's peace rule and reign in our hearts. You know, we either react or we look beyond. But it's a choice that we make. Very quickly, 9, regulate your emotions. You must take ownership of your feelings. You must control them yourself without expecting other people and circumstances to do it for you. What am I saying? Take personal responsibility for your emotions and your actions. 10, learn from failures. Oh, somebody is very kindly putting it out for me. Learn from your failures. Don't internalize failure. Don't blame, don't attack others. Look for lessons in every failure. Ask, what can I do better next time? What can I learn from this? I think the issue is this, how you choose to think and act in difficult situations is critical. Donna Gibbs, let me read this and we're going to bring this to a close. God can indeed replace your suffering with resilience. Resilience is more than just healing. Resilience comes when God takes a painful circumstance in our lives and not only heals us, but also makes us even stronger than we were prior to the struggle. Paul puts it out so well, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 12, 9-11. But the Lord said, my grace is all you need. Only when you are weak can everything be done completely by my power. That's so hard for many of us, isn't it? We don't want that vulnerableness. So I gladly boast about my weaknesses. Then Christ's power can stay in me. Yes, I am glad to have weaknesses if they are for Christ. I am glad to be insulted and have hard times. I am glad when I'm persecuted and have problems, because it is when I'm weak that I am really strong. God doesn't leave us to build resilience by ourselves. When we walk with Him, when we trust Him, we rely on Him for strength. Amen? Be right. Recognize, no matter what, that your actions, you are your responsibility. No matter how anybody behaves, no matter what anybody does. My friends, no matter what the political climate is, our responses are we our responsibility. Okay? We are all affected. Proverbs, last scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Many people start strong, but they fail to finish well. I want to ask you to do a couple of things this evening. Those of you at home, those of you here. Don't procrastinate on decisions that you need to make. I think one of the greatest, one of the most important decisions is really surrendering our life to God. Is giving our life. If you have never ever surrendered your life to God, can I ask you not to procrastinate that today? Surrender your life to God. If you haven't surrendered parts of your life to God, there are things that you're keeping to yourself and you want to be in control, can I encourage you today? Surrender those areas to the Lord. Can I ask you to, you may have challenges in your marriage, can I ask you to surrender your marriage to the Lord? Surrender every area of your life, your business, your education, your relationships, especially your decisions. Don't procrastinate. Haven't we seen a litany of damaged lives because they take too long to make the right decisions and they live a life of regret? Make a decision in your heart today. I do not want to live a life of regret. Regret starts ending today. I make the decision, I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm going to make the decision, I am going to serve the Lord. I am going to do this for the Lord. I am going to respond. I am going to make the right choices in life. I am going to take my best step forward. What would you quiet down your heart for a moment? What are the right decisions you need to make today? That you know you shouldn't procrastinate anymore. Would you take a moment? And then I want to pray for you. Some of you may be procrastinating to even go to the doctor. Go and get a checkup before you see something else worse. Repair that relationship before it's a point of no repair. Let's take a moment and then I want to pray for you. Father, today, whatever the condition of all those who are listening in this room, in their own homes, wherever they may be, Father, I pray that procrastination to make the right decisions, the decision to give their life to you, Jesus, the decision to make the right choices, the decision to stop, oh God, in a particular relationship, to stop making wrong choices. Father, I pray today that you give them the courage to make this right decision. That the life that they live will not be a life of regret, but a life of purpose, a life, oh God, that is focused, and a life that is fruitful. I speak your blessing and your grace upon each one today. That the simple 10 things of God, we will apply them. They may be so simple, but if we supply them in a simple way, every day, consistently, we want to see the life of Christ come and flood us and fill us, oh God, and give us a great journey ahead. So I bless your people in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus, let your grace, your mercy, and your love cover them and touch them. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Thank you. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Elijah.